pipes if you got good beer.
All right, here we are. Let's see, where's Leaf's mic? Leaf, you're there.
Hear me?
There you are.
Can you hear me now?
We're recording. Everything looks hunky dory.
Good. That's nice.
Hey, I got to tell you, I knew we were going to get together today, and I took a pretty long drive down Valley from my place to work. The river looked low, man.
Yeah.
How low is it compared? Have you checked here lately to how low it gets?
I looked yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was at 365 or something like that. And it flattened out at, I believe it was like 350. And so I think maybe that's the bottom end of the float gauge or whatever they have down there to monitor, because I highly doubt it was flat line for like the 3 days that it showed on the graph. Obviously it wasn't that far under, you know, just even that little bit of rain up in the mountains that we didn't even really see so much of down here,
but I kicked it back up
a little bit.
I read about it, though. I think they definitely
right
got
where we needed it, right?
Well, and I think, yes, right where we needed it. And trying to get over the Cascades, it was heavy rain.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing we got plenty up high.
I did hear from somebody, I think one of my clients, they said it was raining and snowing and just crazy up there, which it'll do at this time of the year.
Yeah.
Yes, it's low. It is lower than the 60-year average. I mean, we've been trending that way quite often. I would say the overall average for us now is maybe almost a third lower water than the 60-year average shows, just kind of in general. Sometimes we'll get above it. Sometimes we'll be right there with it. But most of the time, we're just slightly under that 60-year average. Mm. So, you know, it's just a different river anymore than when I was a kid. And I was speaking with another guy at work at the hatchery today. And he said that, you know, he hasn't been here for a super long time, maybe 10 years now. But he said it's changed in even his time being here, which, you know, kind of shows me that I'm not just imagining things. I know that I am super sensitive to the changes out there. Hopefully not hypersensitive or, you know, overly sensitive, but I feel like
we want you to be sensitive.
I'm your canary in the coal mine the river here.
That's why I asked.
But my friend and I, Bob, we did that Burma to Burma float on the last day that we could, you know, really not expecting to see much in the way of great fishing, because that's how it was last year at this time when I went down with another friend. But I kind of always got to do every section during the season when I can. And since it was the last chance, I boogied down there and we hit it in our little boats. And, you know, we saw some steelhead smolt and everything. But I just don't see anywhere near the cutthroat in the lower river that I used to when I was a kid. You used to reliably be able to catch them, even down below Black Canyon. And now, you know, as far up as the town of Methow and even up to about McFarland Creek, you'll start to see squawfish and pike minnows in the river there, which you'd never see before.
Pike minnows?
Yeah, and a lack of the big cutthroat, at least below the town of Methow, that I'm used to seeing. And so there's definitely changes that you can track on this river right now as far as the fish populations.
Are you – well, what do you think – I mean – you know, we've got like a 16, 17-year trend with just global heat.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's hotter every year.
Right.
It doesn't let up.
Right.
It's not an anomaly. It's happening.
Right.
I'm wondering what other stats would we have on the river that's maybe affecting the fish? The water temp, the water flow?
Yeah, water temp and water. Well, water temp is going to change directly with your water flow.
Yeah, okay.
If you have one-third less river, you might just be one-third hotter in your water, too. Mm-hmm. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not exactly that, balanced out and corresponding in numbers.
They would correlate to each
other.
But
holy crap, you know, you just never saw so much flotsam, so much foam on this river before. Mm-hmm. A lot of that's nitrogen, though, too, coming out of people's, even just their drain fields from their sinks, coming out of cows' booties. You know, not so much a cattle thing here like it is on some other rivers where they're overgrazed and there's a ton of it, but you will see it directly
downstream. You're talking about the foam on top, not the scum growing.
No, the growing foam, foam that you get.
Yeah, okay.
And then you'll get more plant matter. You'll get more algae growing because of the up in nitrogen too. None of that is good for cold water fish like cutthroat and bull trout. And this year, you know, I try not to get too carried away about the changes you might have in any given year, because this could be due to a few things, but mm-hmm. there's definitely, you know, less mature cutthroat, and we're seeing it in returning cutthroat up on the Twisp River, you know, passing over that weir. We've been seeing a drop in mm-hmm. in maximum age fish, and I think a lot of it is due to the lack of flow and the water being hotter. And it's something where we need to do everything we can do, these projects where we're tapping into the aquifer with these side channels and getting them some water out of the ground, multiple cold water refuge points, you know, like that. That's very important. There were just a few done up on the Twisp River this year by the Yakima Nation, I'm proud mm-hmm. to say. Super excited to see what those will do. I think it's crucial that we kind of bring online our knowledge as scientists and as people and act like this superior species we supposedly are and do some stuff to try to compensate. And, you know, we're going to lose some fish further down the lines in these kind of systems, but at least we can give them some cold water bastions higher up in the systems. Mm-hmm. And then we'll just see what happens overall.
I got an interesting email here pretty recently about a lamprey project that
there again, don't want to toot our horns too much, but the Yakimas are pretty much kicking butt out there. Yeah, old Ralph Lampman, that guy's awesome.
Ralph, that's who
he
was
gets
from,
out there, does a rap about lampreys.
Yeah,
he's a native from the Yakima Nation, and I bet they're super proud of their you know, their native son there.
I told him, you know, I said, geez, Ralph, you need to come in and talk about it, because it was like, I had like, you know, 18 yeah. hours advance notice, and we couldn't pull it off. But the numbers that he told me, it's been a major yep. recovery.
Yep, and we've seen I hate to butcher it, amnisids, you know, the baby lampreys from those releases of his.
Uh-huh.
So it's working. Yeah, it's happening.
It apparently still requires kind of an actual assisted move back yeah. to the sea. We've got yeah. they cannot negotiate
yeah, those
fish
dams,
ladders and stuff. They can't do it.
Yeah, there. I saw some project where they were starting to change the shapes of ladders, but we're still not there yet on the Columbia River dams. And so, luckily, they can do some trucking around, and it is actually a lot more successful with those fish than like some of the others. Maybe yeah. on the Snake River, I can't really speak 100% to mm-hmm. them because I'm not super familiar with it, but you can really help out these guys by getting them up river and just getting that good little push of them up here
yep.
can really do a lot.
Well, apparently,
you know, and those little guys are in the mud there and they're filtering through it, they're cleaning it up, they're finding food in there, and just like, you know, like the worms in your garden, mm-hmm. as they go through it, they change the makeup of what's there, they help mm-hmm. it break down, and then out the other end of them comes some good you know, plant or fish food or mm-hmm. you know, stream nutrients.
Well, yes, they're definitely a part of the river. What we're talking about,
food for fish.
Yeah, and they're food for fish, and they were actually food for people.
That's right.
To a very large
yeah,
extent.
Yeah, very important food
and,
for them.
And they got big. I mean, we're not talking worms. We're talking fish.
You know, I've had some slightly different, but along the same line, eel sushi.
Uh-huh.
I bet it'd be pretty darn good if you cooked it up, right?
Oh, for sure.
I guess they'd probably be drying it, smoking it, something yeah. like that. But it wasn't half bad.
Eels are always popular wherever
you bet.
They...
We're down on that.
We're just not used to it.
Yeah. We get too easily creeped out as Americans, and we should be creeped out by some McDonald's or some high fructose corn syrup or giant amounts of sodium and sugar, right?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Anyway, this is not a dietary supplementary hour. So back to the wonderful world of fishing, right?
Yes. So fishing, you're just about, think, at the end of jumping in the river.
You know, I'm still fishing some spots where I feel like there's enough water. Definitely trying to stay away from the areas that I've fished very much already this year. I really like to try to use the whole river mm-hmm. and not pound the same stretches over and over again. It's kind of my business model, and it's my personal fishing model as it is. Never mm-hmm. just go back and pound the same runs again. I don't want to spend time beating up on those fish.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to see some of them and get out there and experience a good fight with them, but I also want to make sure that they are healthy and ready to reproduce, give us the next line of great fighters too. But yeah, you know, the river is still fishing pretty good, and it still might be some of your only chances to get out there and get your fishing in this fall, because there won't be a steelhead season here on the Methow. The October caddis have been great. They've been popping off even all throughout the day now because mm-hmm. it's cooling down. And just been, you know, doing a little bit of surface, some dry fly work with them. And then also starting into my first kind of nymphing of the year and using there again just some stonefly nymphs because that's what's still kind of coming off. The goldens are still popping.
Okay.
And those October caddis are just in full swing. So I'm also using those two nymphs, using those two adults. Can be done with a chubby Chernobyl a lot of time in the case of the golden, or just a size 8 or 10 red or orange stemmy for the October caddis. That's okay. Basically what they look like. And then still keep a drake or two on hand and also be ready for the fairly consistent Calabatus hatch. And using those bigger bugs kind of in the foam line, or I mean in the waves or in the choppier stuff. And then I'm using those smaller bugs and that really calm stuff where okay. They just got those nice consistent foam lines, because that's okay. Where they're going to be looking for that swirl together of bug bodies and mm-hmm. A place where some of those smaller bugs can stay afloat and upright. Okay. Other than that, you know, it's kind of lake time. There were a lot of lakes just open with that, with the fall opener, with Cougar, Campbell, Davis.
Yeah.
You know, a bunch of those. Everything is going to be fishing better. Patterson, Black Pine was great for me the other day. Just all of these. And I think right now we're seeing that first kind of cold weather push that we quite mm-hmm. often see at about this time of the year. But I bet we have a somewhat tame weather come in after this, and it kind of looks
I think so, forecast.
Like 70 yeah. during the day possibly, and still mm-hmm. getting down though to lower 40s at night. So if you're heading up into the high country, gonna be, you know, good times up there. Gonna be larches changing mm-hmm. Color, but you're also gonna be, don't fool yourself, not yes. wearing shorts. Bring warm clothes, have a good bag,
yeah.
Be ready with at least a good bivy tarp in case it starts to rain.
Yeah.
Might even just want the full-blown tent, you know, and look ahead on the weather if you're going into the mountains.
Yeah, and be prepared for some weather.
Be prepared for anything.
Hey, it's the mountains.
It's way better to go overpacked with some warm clothes than just shivering, wishing you had more.
Oh, for crying out loud,
Just don't do it to your buddy, if nothing else. I've had to pack 2 coats long on every hike because of some of my friends. You know who you are.
Yeah.
Heading out tomorrow to Bonaparte.
Cool.
I'd suggest striking out to some of those, too. Curlew's got some reports of those giant tiger muskies swimming around scaring people. We're going after the tiger trout tomorrow, my buddy Bob and I. So, you know, tons of stuff still to do out there.
Nice.
Just switching gears.
Okay. Well, good luck on that. I want to hear.
Thanks, man. I'll let you know. Hopefully next week.
Oh, yeah.
If you need any fishing tips or want to book a trip, give me a call at 509-429-7298. Or you can look me up on the old interwebs for the blog or podcast at Fly Fishers Pro Shop. And drop me a line there if you need to at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com. Take care of one another out there. Protect that public land, because you are that public. Don't forget it. And get that fish right on. And my mama's gonna fishin', and the baby gonna fishin' too.